This is Robert Rawson once again speaking to you in behalf of the study that we're doing today and tomorrow in regard to setting up a training school program to help preachers, teachers, and personal workers to do their best kind of work. The sound in the background is different because I'm in the auditorium of the Kosciuszko Church of Christ on South Huntington Street here in Kosciuszko, Mississippi. And I'm glad to have you to be a part of this, as well as to have those on the internet listening to and enjoying the studies that we're doing so far. Tonight the study is in regard to John chapter 4 and the statement made by our Lord Jesus after that his disciples had seen him laboring for quite some time. They prayed to him, according to John 4 verse 31, to eat. And Jesus said in verse 32 of John 4, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Of course, Jesus was speaking about the spiritual look at life. And more so than the physical being that he was to protect, he wanted to protect the spiritual being of his soul and life. And thus Jesus went on to say, in regard to this matter, a statement that is often cited and often quoted, but never really looked at from the standpoint of how we really ought to look at Scripture. Jesus said that the fields are white unto harvest, but the workers are few. Notice that Jesus, our Lord, had spoken these words in regard to circumstances that he met back in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, and in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, in the which Jesus noted that the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers that go into the fields are very few. He tells the disciples, "Pray ye to the Lord that he may send forth reapers into the fields." Thus it is that that prayer was to be special on the part of the disciples' lips. They were to pray. The Father had asked them to pray for harvesters to come and to reap the vast fields that were there. Some people realized that they were in darkness and they wanted to be in light. Some people realize they're in error and they want to be in truth. Some people come to realize that they are not doing God's will and they want to begin to do God's will. Can they? And they are assured that they can change their ways of life and they can come to the light and they can enjoy the bountiful harvest of their souls. Thus, someone coming to them, someone teaching them, someone working with them, someone becoming a friend of them will be a reaper, and he will be able to bring the harvest to fruition. That which is in the field is ripe unto harvest, but the laborers are few, Jesus had said. In this passage in John 4, he went on to say, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not, yet there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth." Then he closed in John chapter 4 and verse 38. "I sent you forth to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Have you ever noticed the full context of the statement regarding the fields of white unto harvest? The idea was that the fields are there and available. The harvester, the one who goes forth to reap in the fields, is encouraged to go forth and do that, noting that someone has planted earlier, someone has watered earlier, someone has set it up so that he may come now and enter into the labor and have the harvest to be brought in. The work of the Lord is the part of everyone's life. You may be a harvester. You may see results come. You may see lives change, hearts change, desires change. You may see a person immersed into Christ and become new in the Lord. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 6 when he said that we were buried with him by baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also raised to walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be enslaved or serve sin. Notice that that new life was begun when they were buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. There is reaping to be done. Some will enjoy that time of reaping. Others, however, will be those who go forth to sow. Those who go forth to be sure that it's planted, that the root system is there, that it's not disturbed by error, and that it is held up by the truth. That is something that is important to the work of the Lord going on, just as well as those who go forth to reap. When Jesus said, "The fields are white unto harvest," lift up your eyes. Don't say 4 months, wait, but lift up now and look. The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers, he says, as you notice there in Luke 10:2, are few. Pray ye to the Lord that he may send forth laborers into his vineyard, that he may reap that which has already been planted. People planting the Word of God in the lives of others is in a variety of ways. Their first primary example is a way of life. They plant that into the hearts of individuals. They remember them very well for being honest and dependable, forthright people, people who have compassion and care. In fact, this is the context of Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37 is the statement, Jesus looked at the crowds of people and had compassion upon them. Notice Jesus loved them and cared for them. They could see the difference in what he did with them. They could see the difference in what he told them. He could see the difference in how he lived his way of life before the Heavenly Father. And as a result, they wanted to be like that. They wanted to be converted to him. They wanted to serve the Lord in the right and righteous kind of way. What a blessing it is to be people who recognize the full context. And this is what we need to do with many other verses of Scripture in the Bible. We need to see the context of a Scripture. If we do not recognize the context, we just as ready be going back to the Old Testament, seeing God commanded Noah to build the ark of gopher wood. And we would set out to command people today for salvation to build an ark of gopher wood today. Well, we would be wrong, because we're not in that context. We're not in that circumstance. That flood is not yet coming. He's assured us that that's not the case throughout the world. And as a result of that, what we have, localized floods and things of that nature may take place, but not throughout the world. And it is the case that once we see that take place, we have opportunity to really reach out and help the lives of individuals around us. If we'll do that, we'll do good. But if we go back to the Old Testament passage that is listed there and see that Noah did what God commanded him, thus did Noah according to all that he commanded him, thus it is in Genesis 6 and 7 that we find Noah obeying God and entering into that ark of safety. Do we today get into the ark of safety? Where is that ark of safety? Listed in Acts chapter 2, that ark of safety was added by the Lord as he added the saved to the church, Acts 2, verse 47. So it is that we love the Lord and love his right and righteous way, and so it is that we want to be faithful to him as we go forth in the field and as we find ourselves harvesting for the Lord. Some are ready now. Some we find ourselves only planting, only sowing, only being sure that it's set in the heart by a good example that we say. Notice also that we want to be people by our words that we use that encourage people. Encouragement of people is important. In one of the lesson studies about this school program in conversation, we talked about the late Brother J.A. Thornton talking about his early years of preaching and how that he did a sermon that was so called, but he didn't recognize any good thing about it. But one little lady came out recognizing that it was good and reminded him she got something good out of what he preached today. He would quickly say when he did that sermon, he would quickly say, "I don't know today what she got out of it that was good. I don't understand it all, but I know what she gave me. She gave me a word of encouragement to keep trying and to try again and to do it again." And thus he continued to do that for well over 65 years of his life. what a blessing it was to have that example. Do you use words of encouragement to people? Words of encouragement to go on and do their best, not to stop. Words to comfort and words to help. Do you use words for betterment of people's lives? It can be that you're remembered as a person who came to them and who offered a word of encouragement. And because of that word of encouragement, all the difference in the world was in their lives. They went on to become the doctor, the nurse, the lawyer, the individual who was serving others in a good way because of your words of encouragement to them. There's a way in which we can sow the word of God by being an example. There's a way in which we can do good words. And there's another way in which we can sow the word of God, and that is perhaps to write it down in simple words, simple terms. A tract or a booklet can be written. A little page can be written that tells individuals about where I was and what I did and how the word of the Lord became meaningful to me and helpful to me. As a result of that, changes were made in my life, and changes can be made in the lives of others. When someone reads those words, perhaps they'll reflect upon where they are in life, where they are in their ways of walk, and where they are in their ways of talk, and in their way of serving the Lord or failing to serve the Lord. Because of that, the field can be white unto harvest, because you labor to sow that and sow it well. And later someone will come along with the word of encouragement. They'll come along with a word of reminder. They'll come along with a word of conviction. And thus there will be a change in that person's life. Yes, that's what Jesus meant when he said the fields are white unto harvest. And how that he wanted the workers to go out in the field. And how that when they didn't see the seed there being so ready for harvest, they would be the people who sowed that seed and who grew that seed. And as a result of that, the laborer together with those who grew the seed worked together to be successful in the work of the Lord. Thus you can do that same thing and be a servant of God. And you can begin today. You can say, I no longer want to be against the Lord. I want to follow His way. The context of a passage of Scripture then is very, very important. But most also what's important, an application of that Scripture. What application is made here in John chapter 4, 31 through 38? An application of reaching out to others, an application of not quitting, an application of reaching out to those where you see the sowed, the seed that's been sown, and the life that's been lived, and now then the harvest time is called for by you as you go out in life. What about the background of Acts chapter 2 and verse 21? A passage that says, if we call upon the Lord, we shall be saved. A quotation of Joel's prophecy back yonder. Is that all that there was, just to call upon the Lord? Or was there calling on the Lord, meaning, I will obey Him, I will follow Him? Well, on that day of Pentecost in Acts 2, they didn't realize that they were already saved individuals. When they called and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And the Lord added daily to the church those that were being saved. Acts 2, 38 through verse 47. Thus they were people who followed the way of the Lord. They understood His way and they followed that way. When you and I understand that teaching today, will we follow that teaching? Will we be the people that the Lord called upon us to be and become the field that was white unto harvest, and the harvest is now complete? Thank you for your study with us on this Monday, October the 15th, as we consider how to set up a school program that plants that seed in the hearts of those who preach and teach the Word of God effectively, and the harvest is sure to come for them.